Join me this morning, first in Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. So listen, here's the thing, and I realize that there may be a variety of convictions represented here this morning on this issue, but on the subject of religious freedom, I don't think we have a variety of convictions. We believe in freedom here at Calvary Chapel. We actually believe that. We agree with the founders of our nation. We agree with them. They were biblically minded people, and our agreement with them causes us to stand for freedom. Right now, the tyrant of our state, a governor who would be queen, believes she can wave her scepter and issue mandates. What is a mandate? It's a command. Well, we don't do commands because we don't do kings and queens. We generally have the representatives of the people coming up with laws. That's how it works. And that's not how it's working right now. And religious freedom is among the many freedoms that are being violated and infringed upon. So you've all got the edict, the mandate from the governor is you have to get your COVID vaccine or lose your job by October 1st. All right, so Liberty Council has been aware of this. And Liberty Council has written the letter that typically comes before a lawsuit, reminding your potential adversary of the law. And they would, you know, based on the response, they would proceed. Well, they got no response, kind of what they expected, no response at all. No response. Not even the kind of response where the governor would say, we believe we stand on good legal ground or good constitutional ground. That's not how things are going these days. It's just ignore the Constitution and ignore the law and just do whatever you can get away with as a tyrant. So ultimately, we have been working this week to put together a list of plaintiffs who are willing to participate in a lawsuit. Liberty Council is suing this week two of the hospitals here in our state, and following that with a lawsuit against the governor for violating rights of conscience. You can't just say, no, we've decided we're doing away with religious exemptions. Religious freedom is still what is at stake here. I realize there's some of you who have just, you know, made a decision that you're just going to get the vaccine. It's what you're called to, and you have a different perspective on that, and that's fine. There are others here who really believe that the issue here is a freedom issue, and they're not willing to let it go, and are willing to even potentially lose their job or change vocations. And we're all maybe a little different on what we're going to do in response, but we all agree that freedom matters. We all agree on that. So I'd ask you to pray for all of those. And according to the text I received from Horacio Mihet yesterday evening, which again, he's one of the lawyers for Liberty Council, his word was, we are suing the state of Maine and two large hospitals this coming week. Tell your people to stand their ground and mend their posts. So stand your ground. Forgive me if I gotta keep pulling my glasses off and putting them on. I gotta decide what I wanna see, up close or far away. Right now I gotta see up close. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28, I have been saying this, I've been proclaiming this since the spring of 2020. I've been preaching Deuteronomy 28 for years. What is Deuteronomy 28? Well, it is that place where Moses, speaking on behalf of God on the border of the promised land, tells the covenant people, this is the deal. If you'll hold true to this covenant, you'll be blessed. And here's the degree to which you'll be blessed. But if you violate this covenant and you turn your back on God, there's the degree to which you'll be cursed. So there are blessings and there are curses. The blessing portion, the degree to which a nation would be blessed, is probably one quarter of the chapter open before us. The scarier part of the chapter and the part where God is really graphic is the degree to which a nation would be cursed. I remind you again that it was our founders who invoked all of these blessings and curses upon our nation. They entered us into a covenant with God. Our first president, the one we call the father of our nation, interrupted the ceremony where he was to lay his hand upon the Bible and swear in his oath of office, interrupted it to open to this page, to invoke these blessings and the curses of this page. Well, I want to proclaim to you this morning one particular section one verse out of Deuteronomy 28. You can read it with me. Look at verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Madness. Irrationality. Have we not seen it? Have we not been looking at it? A nation once great, a nation who became great because of the blessing of God. A nation that used to understand that our greatness came from God and His grace shed upon us. We used to understand that our chief export was wisdom. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of His Word. 80 cents out of every dollar for the last 2.5 centuries that has been given to advance the cause of Christ, to missionary endeavors, has come from this country. But we abandoned that, we turned our back on God, and we came to believe that we were hot stuff because of democracy. And democracy was what made us great. And then we started doing everything we could to export democracy. And we sacrificed the lives of our young men and women. And we have sacrificed such treasure in the name of making the world free like us. Because if they're just free, they'll be like us and everything will be great. I say to you, it's utter madness to think that you could just give democracy, that you could just nation build, that you could just depose tyrants. If that was our job, we could depose them and that people would then be grateful. They'd be like us. We have seen madness be practiced. And now, right now, I proclaim to you this morning that our national leadership is madder than any national leadership has ever been. They're insane. They're doing things that are irrational, doing things. I don't know that there are nations whose leaders go out of their way to do things to destroy the nation that they're leading. But that's what's happening now. You're all aware of what's going on in Afghanistan. You've seen the pictures, surely you have not been unaware. You've seen the airplanes, the callous action of jets driving over people to get away. Guys, I'm waiting for slides to come up, so don't wait for me to cue you. Just throw them up there. You realize that what has happened has sent a message to the entire world and to the tyrants of the world. Al Jazeera is showing this is what Americans do to those who line up with them, who put their trust in them. They're showing the video footage of those poor men who fell thousands of feet hanging onto the wheels of a jet, so desperate, so committed to escaping what they knew was coming. The cruelty of a nation, the shameful betrayal of people, and the video footage that will never be forgotten is an expression of utter madness. This is how you make the world not trust you. This is how you undermine all your security. This is how you affect the entire world negatively. And now, as a result of this message that has been sent, by the way, I encourage you all to, if you don't have the app, get the app of my good friend Amir Sarfati. His app is Behold Israel. And he gives news updates, and he was among the first to point out that the official news source of the Chinese Communist Party was quick to pounce on this action and send a message to Taiwan. You see what happens, and you're next. China has been emboldened. Russia has been emboldened. This is more than just a little bit relevant to all of us who actually believe that there is a coming invasion, a coming attempted invasion of the nation of Israel that is going to be led by Russia and Iran and a confederacy of Muslim states. We've made that our study from Ezekiel 38 and 39. There are prophecies that have never been fulfilled, and they are pending. And you're looking at the setup. You're looking at the stage that is set for it. And now, more than any other time, both Russia and China are emboldened. What do we have now, suddenly? The biggest joint military exercises that have happened in more than three decades, being led by Russia and China together. Right now in northwest China, the largest military exercise, joint military exercise, that's been engaged in by any nation or nations in decades is happening with Russia and China. Let me read you from Psalm 2, what the prophet King David wrote thousands of years ago. Psalm 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. What does anointed mean? His chosen. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. I draw your attention this morning to the word wrath in this prophecy. There is a day of wrath. There is a day of judgment coming. There is a period of time that the prophets refer to as the day of the Lord. It's not a day. It's a period of time. A period of time that is actually a seven-year increment. We rightly call it the tribulation. In this passage in Psalm chapter 2, we see that the kings of the earth have unionized. They take counsel together against the Lord, against Yahweh, and against his chosen. Ultimately, that prophecy is fulfilled by Pontius Pilate, Herod, and Caiaphas, all of the three of them in league to have Jesus Christ crucified. So, against the Lord and against his anointed, in its primary sense, means Christ, his chosen one. In another sense, against the Lord, Yahweh, and against his chosen means Israel. And in a third sense, against the Lord and against his chosen means against the Christian. And I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the tyrants of the world, all the way from Augusta, Maine to Beijing, are unionizing against the Christians. You've been targeted, and you need to know it. What does that lead up to? That leads up to the very wrath of God. It leads up to God acting in judgment. Look at Acts chapter 2. Go there with me and see how the apostles quoted this psalm. In Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry, I keep saying 2, when I mean 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. It's the glasses. Taking them off and putting them on. I guess I'm better off without them. Being dragged before their Supreme Court, the apostles were threatened. Look at verse 23, not 24. And being let go, they went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. But look at verse 28. Gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. The apostles recognized Psalm 2 had been fulfilled in the league between Herod, Caiaphas, and Pilate. But they also recognized that God not only knew it was going to happen, God determined that it was going to happen. That they, who thought they were doing their own will, were doing what they called the counsel determined before to be done. In the same way, I am telling you, dear Christian, in the same way that the kings of the earth unionized to act together against Christ, they're doing it again. But it's not like God didn't know. It was all of it foreknown by God, and it is still, I believe, what his counsel has determined before to be done. And we have an obligation to stand. You see, they recognized that their leaders being against God was foreknown by God, that it was a setup, that Jesus Christ was supposed to die on a cross, that he was supposed to die on Passover. It was all a setup, and it happened. Now they have to take their stand. Look at what it says next, their prayer in verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They prayed two things. Number one, give us boldness. They prayed, give us boldness. That's what we need now. We've got to take our stand, give us boldness. Number two, do miracles. Validate the name of Jesus Christ by the miraculous. Boldness. Boldness is what we need now. Here we are in this situation, in this circumstance, not that different from theirs. We've been targeted, we've been threatened, and what we need now is boldness to take our stand. We need to pray for it like they did. We need to pray. Would you please consider our obligation? Let me talk to you about our duties, what we need to do. Our obligation to stand against violations of the law, and our duty to stand against tyranny and lawlessness. We have an obligation, dear Christian. We have an obligation as long as we are here and as long as we are still alive to stand for what is right. We're not in charge of how things all turn out, and we're not in charge of how it's all going to end. We are in charge of who we are. In the words of Joshua Chamberlain, none of us knows the future. We cannot prepare for it much. But what we can do is determine what manner of people we will be. You guys know what is written by the prophet Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justice. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We have an obligation to stand for what is right. We have an obligation to stand against lawlessness. We have an obligation to hold our elected officials to the law. Laws are being violated, we have a duty. And our duty is to stand for what is right and stand against what is wrong. We don't have the freedom to look the other way, to ignore it. We don't have the freedom to act like it's not happening. Many horrible examples of that from Christian Germany during the rise and the reign of the Third Reich. Horrible examples of churches just singing louder so they wouldn't have to hear the screams of people in the boxcars of the trains that passed through the village on their way to the concentration camps. But there's a minority of those who stood. That tiny minority, they're remembered in history. It is now our time to stand, and to stand against what is wrong, to stand for what is right, just as Bonhoeffer did. Of course, if you know Bonhoeffer's story, you know that it cost him his life. How it turns out is not up to us, but that we do stand. Well, you guys are aware that there are many conspiracy theories. It seems like since the advent of the World Wide Web, there are more of them than have ever been, and they're on every subject. Everything to cosmology, whether or not the Earth is actually a sphere or not, to who shot JFK. All kinds of conspiracy theories, right? But you guys do know that there is, nevertheless, while there are many conspiracy theories, there are, in reality, conspiracies. Not everything is a theory, right? You know that. Not everything is a conspiracy theory. There are many things that are there. You will remember our previous president laying out the case that there is good evidence that the COVID-19 virus started crossing over to humanity from a lab in Wuhan, China. Of course, that was a conspiracy theory until he was gone. And then they had the freedom to admit it started in a lab in Wuhan, China. Not a conspiracy theory at all. It was a conspiracy. Well, there are many other conspiracies afoot. Are you aware of the outgoing Border Patrol chief sounding the alarm that, quote, suspected terrorists are crossing the southern border at a level we have never seen before? You aware of that one? That our national leaders, our federal government, has actually eliminated border security, thrown open the borders. In fact, you're all aware, no doubt, you're aware that Senator Rand Paul's charge that the federal government is actually seeding states with the very COVID that they want to lock them down by. They are transporting without any regard to state law or state official, without any announcement. They're busing them and flying them to the states where they want to change the COVID numbers. Our nation's borders, our southern border is down. And while it's down, suspected terrorists are crossing at a level we have never seen before, says the outgoing Border Patrol chief. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security goes out of its way to identify potential terror threats from patriots, from Christians. The wall is down on the southern border, and yet potential terror threats that Homeland Security is being alerted to are oppositions to COVID measures. There's been no terrorist activity by anybody who is opposed to COVID measures. Claims of election fraud and belief that Trump can be reinstated. This is from the Department of Homeland Security. This is what they believe is a potential terrorist threat. A 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays, and they're not talking about Ramadan. You understand that there is a real conspiracy to destroy this nation, to advance a globalist agenda. You're aware of censorship by big tech and social media against Christians and against anybody who is conservative, right? You're aware of this. You are, right? That you'll be kicked off those platforms. Taliban's welcome. The Taliban has been allowed a massive social media presence on all their platforms, including Facebook. What does that reveal to you about these people? Federal government is actually acting to destroy our currency. You've seen some of these headlines, like this, that one. How the destruction of the dollar threatens the global economy and what we can do about it. How the global economy is affected by the destruction of the dollar. But you consider the possibility that those who are deliberately destroying the dollar want to affect the world economy. And they know that they can. Our country, at the same time, by the very same federal government that is destroying the dollar, they have divided the nation racially. Divided us and turned us against one another. What government, what federal government divides its own nation and deliberately causes civil unrest? You're all aware of this event. That's the wrong slide, but we'll go for it. It's there now. You guys, have you heard the phrase, the Great Reset? Great Reset is what the globalists are hoping for. The Great Reset is this the kind of term spoken at the World Economic Forum. The Great Reset is basically all about humbling America and making it one big socialist world happen. One of their leaders, Klaus Schwab, you ought to look that guy up, one of their great thinkers, Klaus Schwab, has stated his vision of the future is that you will own nothing, but you'll be happy. You'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. You'll be happy. You'll rent everything. You'll lease everything from who? From the government. The government will own everything. And you know our founders, the founders of this nation, stated in our birth certificate, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. What are they? The right to life, liberty, and that third one. They didn't know how to best articulate it. They had some debate over that. Originally, it was property. Life, liberty, and property. But they didn't think property really quite covered it, so they came up with the pursuit of happiness. But at the root of their thought was that freedom means owning. And under the tyranny of kings, you only own what the king lets you own. It's all the king's, and he'll let you own some of them. But ultimately, those are the king's trees you're cutting. Those are the king's deer you're hunting. Our nation's founders said, no, ownership is a biblical concept that we can own and we can manage. Well, those people in the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum, they have an agenda. They've got a plan that involves ultimately you not even owning an automobile, but being dependent, completely dependent upon an Uber driven by a drone. Going to get nothing, you don't need to because it'll come to you. They'll fly your order to you as you spend your government check. It's a recipe for the worst kind of future imaginable. There's two rival notions about the future. You're aware of that, right? There's the cartoon version, the Jetsons. Yeah. Contrast that with the Terminator. And I submit to you that the Terminator is way more likely. The Jetsons ignore the wickedness of humanity and that there is an actual devil. You're aware of the high-tech race? The governments right now of the world are racing to be the first that actually have the power of the quantum supercomputer and artificial intelligence that is made even more possible with this. That is, in a very real sense, a man-made simulated brain that has the capacity to do things. The capacity of that quantum computer would make tyranny so much more possible. The gathering and use of information used against humanity, used to control the masses, is actually a frightening thing, and the race is on. When you read the book of Revelation, I pointed out to you a few weeks ago that there is this prophecy about an image that does two things. Number one, it speaks. An image that speaks, that everybody is supposed to worship, it speaks and it issues the verdict. That everybody who refuses to receive the mark and join the system needs to be exterminated. Do you understand? The image, the idol, the man-made thing is actually being produced. We're moving rapidly in this direction. How's it all going to end? Well, ultimately, the day of the Lord is coming and judgment is coming. How's it all going to end for us individually? Our personal fight? None of us knows that. We do not know. See, I have every reason to believe that we, next month, will actually experience victory with the Supreme Court. That our right to gather in the Lord's name, our religious freedom, will be defended by the court. I believe that based on all of the precedent already established by the court in other states. I'm no prophet. I can just look at the precedent and I know where the court stands. But the question is, will that even matter to the tyrants? There are other issues where they are already ignoring the Supreme Court. Well, the federal government has already done things. The CDC has no authority, yet the CDC has presumed the authority to tell the entire country you don't have to pay your rent, even though the Supreme Court has already told them you can't do that. Doing it anyway. Even our chief executive, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think there's any debate about whether or not old Joe's clutch is engaging. There's no debate on that. Even the godless leftist CNN is acknowledging it with regard to Afghanistan. Exactly why now they're doing that, that's a little bit mysterious. But everybody knows that. But we have a duty to stand. We have a duty to stand. We don't know how everything's going to turn out. But we have a duty to stand. You guys remember a long-forgotten name? John Quincy Adams? John Quincy Adams, as far as I know, is the only president that, after serving in that role, returned to a lesser role in Congress and continued to serve the nation. And as an old man in Congress, he continued to sponsor legislation to abolish slavery. Legislation that wouldn't even come to the floor. He got no traction. Nobody would get behind him. And there were young, arrogant men who confronted him and asked him, "Why do you keep doing this?" His answer would be perhaps helpful for you today. His answer was, "Duty is ours. Results is God's." Duty is ours, results God's. God is watching. And what really matters is that John Quincy Adams goes down in history, not just being opposed to it, but acting in opposition to slavery. So it is for you and me. We have an obligation to stand. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I have been proclaiming to you and will continue to because I believe it. A doctrine that we call the doctrine of imminence. Pre-tribulation rapture. Okay, what is the tribulation? It is that period of time where God is going to judge the world. How long is that? 7 years. God is going to judge the world, and there are plagues that are going to be unleashed from the Creator. So severe that if it weren't limited in its time, then nobody would survive on earth. There'd be no survivors. But for the sake of the chosen people, Israel, whom Christ is returning to, those days are limited. I believe and I continue to stand for that doctrine of imminence, pre-tribulation mass evacuation of the church. The Apostle Paul used the term, we shall be caught up. We won't all sleep, but we'll all be changed. We're going to be caught up. I believe in that. Now, you probably are all aware that there was a period of time in modern Christianity where that was a real popular doctrine, and there were novels and there were films and movies, and everybody was all into that whole Left Behind thing. and a belief in those things. You should know that along with all kinds of other doctrines, American Christianity has turned its back on that doctrine. American churches are abandoning even the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. They've become universalist and they don't even know they have. Not only that, but you should also know that the doctrine of the imminence of Christ's return and our being mass evacuated out of here, that doctrine has been abandoned and is now patronized and mocked. They who mock it say it's just totally escapist. That's what they say. It's escapist. It's a notion that, you know, we're going to just keep having our Christian festivals and our Christian concerts and our religious freedom right up until the Lord comes and takes us away and we don't actually suffer. Well, just for your information, the church is suffering all over the world. The last decade saw more Christian martyrs. The rate of the last decade outpaced any decade ever before it. Now, you guys remember 3 centuries of Christian history, the first 3 centuries, where the Christians were being fed to the lions by the Roman Empire in the arenas. What the empire did not know, what the devil did not know, is that all they were doing was putting devotion on display, and it caused Christianity to win the empire. Horrible things have happened in the history of the church. Horrible things are happening now. Am I escapist in my belief in the rapture? Yes, I am. But you see, that kind of trouble that happens in the world that we live in happens because the devil, the world, and the flesh, that unholy trio, human sinfulness, the world system, corrupt as it is, and the devil, that there is a devil, there's a tempter. The world, the flesh, the devil, they cause the trouble. But the trouble that is coming and the trouble I believe we need to do everything we can to escape from, that's a different kind of trouble. It's a trouble that is caused by God. It's God pouring out the trouble, the wrath of God that is coming upon the world is, in fact, something that I believe with all my heart we can and should escape by the rapture. All kinds of trouble coming. Trouble in the world right now, but nothing like the trouble that is going to be the result of the Creator himself unleashing judgment. There is, according to the scripture, a restrainer. 2 Thessalonians. Let me just give you this. In closing, I can tell you, I don't know how my story will end. I rather expect that sooner or later I'm going to be incarcerated. But even from there, I will continue to oppose and be every bit of wrench in the works I can be to the whole Antichrist agenda, to the entire, what little tiny influence I have. I will spend it in opposition to the spirit of Antichrist at work in this world till I'm dead, till he finally put a bullet in me or chop my head off. I've thought about it many times. Last night I watched I have a friend overseas who is connected. My friend sent me a video clip of executions that I won't show you and that's not available on the World Wide Web. And I've watched those executions, I've seen them before. These are Taliban in Afghanistan already taking action. Men are bound with their hands behind their backs and they're on their knees and the guns are in the back of their head. And I have many times thought to myself that that is how my story will likely end. I still welcome it. I believe we have a duty to stand in the way as long as we are here, and stand for Christ and for justice. 2 Thessalonians, there's this one thing, I'm gonna give you this. I've taught it before, I'm gonna lay it on you again today, quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him, You be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, or by word, or by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ, and we're talking judgment. The day of the Lord is a reference to judgment. You understand what it means when somebody says to you, oh, your day is coming. Not talking about a day of the week. It's not talking about a date on the calendar as much as it's talking about your period. That time of your being dealt with is coming. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except, King James Version, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Man of sin? Yeah, that guy. The son of perdition. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. The day of God's judgment is not going to come until something happens. King James Version and all of our English Bibles give us this falling away. There should come a falling away first. They took a Greek word when they translated our Bible into English. They took a Greek word, and that word is apostasia. You recognize the first half of that because you, Christians, you know what apostasy is. Apostasy is an English word derived from the Greek word apostasia. Apostasy is a departure from the faith. There are many apostates. There are people who depart from the faith. The verb of departing from the faith, that's apostasy. Or the act, apostasy, departing from the faith. But here, our translators took the Greek word apostasia, and they translated it a falling away. They gave us two words for one. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. I'm going to tell you my position on this. It's not mine alone. I believe the best translation, or the more accurate translation, I agree with the scholars who say so, is the departure. Not falling away, but a departure. Now, is there a great falling away happening right now? There is. There is mass apostasy taking place in the West. That's true. But with my whole heart, I believe that the departure is what is being spoken of here. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Because he says the departure has to happen first, then the man of sin be revealed. This guy who is the Antichrist. He said in verse 5, remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. There is something preventing him. There's something restraining him. There's something that's holding him back. I have no doubt in my mind that the Antichrist, that guy who's going to wear that title, is alive right now. And he's moving through the ranks even right now. But he cannot actually rise to power. There have been many Antichrists, but the Antichrist is being restrained. And what is this that's restraining him? Verse 7 says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that's an old English word, that means restrain. He who restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. He, who is this he? Who is this he that is restraining and is going to continue to restrain until he is taken out of the way? I'll tell you who the he is. It's the Holy Spirit of God who was sent. It is the very he whom the Lord used the same pronouns repeatedly at the Last Supper, telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He will lead you in all truth. He will take from what is mine and make it known unto you. He will bring all things to remembrance that I've said unto you. He, the Spirit of truth. You know him, he said to them, because he's been with you, but he will be in you. The Holy Spirit came as he said he would. He was sent by the Father in the name of the Son. He came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He empowered the church, and the world has never been the same. He, the Spirit of truth who will be with us always, cannot be taken out of the way unless we are taken out of the way. So the departure has to happen first, and the restrainer is taken out of the way. And then, verse 8 says, that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I say to you, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is in us, and we must stand. We must stand, stand for what is right, and stand against what is wrong as long as we are here. Our job's not done until we're taken out of the way. Don't get out of the way until you're taken out of the way. I'm going to say it again. Do not step out of the way. Don't go underground. Don't go hiding. Don't become a survivalist. Continue to be a revivalist. Don't go crazy prepper now. But remember, we are here with a commission from Jesus Christ, a commission to preach the gospel, a commission to make disciples of all nations. No, we're not going to make the world a better place to go to hell from. Our primary mission is to introduce people to their Creator in a right relationship made possible through the act of the Creator becoming human, stepping into time, space, and matter, living a perfect life, dying a sacrificial death. Our primary purpose is connecting God. We are ambassadors. We're in a world. Think about this on the subject of ambassadors. We have far-reaching ministries, they have 22 missionaries they're sponsoring underground in Afghanistan, in a closed country. Only two of them so far have been able to escape. The other 20, you need to be praying for them. They're our brothers, our sisters in the Lord. The other 20 are there still. The Taliban are checking people's phones to see if you got a Bible app. You got a Bible app, you die on the spot. By the way, that was Breitbart, that was Wednesday night. I shared that one with the Wednesday night crowd. They're taking people's phones, they're looking through your stuff, and they know to find out who you are. Your phone will tell who you are. Get a Bible app, you die on the spot. Ambassadors from another kingdom, from the kingdom of God, are there in Afghanistan. You and I are ambassadors in a world that is about to be judged by God. Do your job while you're here. I urge you in the name of Christ to not forget duty is ours, results is God's. We need to pull together like we never did before. We need to support each other. We need to pray and actually believe that God hears our prayers and that our prayers affect life on earth. We need to stand, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 6, having done all to stand, stand. We need to share the gospel, and we need to continue to obey the Great Commission. See, I spent the week agonizing myself with the words of people like Bill Gates. I spent the week visiting big tech billionaires who own massive influencing social media platforms, listening to their arrogance and their agenda. They believe they are smarter than all of you and should be the ones to determine your future and how your world continues. They got a plan, they got an agenda. Listening to them, they who are so guilty of censorship and tyranny, information tyranny. And I have been praying, and I'd ask you to join me in such a prayer. that God would move by his Holy Spirit as he has done in the past, and move in such a way as to show them, to shock them with their irrelevance. That God's Spirit would move in such a way, there is no even collection of quantum supercomputers that are smarter than God. All the entire world joining together in league, and combining their genius, cannot stop the will of God, the plan of God. And I'm praying for a revival, a movement of the Holy Spirit that would upset all their billionaire apple carts. Join me in that prayer. Would you stand with me and join me in that prayer this morning, please? Lord, based on our understanding of your word, we see things are setting up. We see the emboldening of Russia by our own leaders. We see the emboldening and the enabling of China and its tyrants by our own traitors in government. And we see all of these things that we've been expecting for a long time suddenly accelerated. The movement toward a one world currency and a one world government, and all of this is happening just like your word said it would happen. But we're still here. So Lord, we've still got a job to do. We're still under the orders of our King to make disciples. I pray that you would give us boldness, and I pray, Father, in agreement with my brothers and sisters, please, will you just flex a finger? That's all it takes, just a finger. Just flex a finger and show by a movement of your Holy Spirit how incredibly irrelevant all the power brokers actually are. Humble them, Lord. You hear their boasting. And send us a revival. Send us a great awakening. At least one more, Lord, to the whole world. We pray that you'd help us play our part and be who we're supposed to be here and now. All of this we pray. In the name of our King, please bless our fellowship with each other now as we go. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you.